Hello, welcome to the photo show. Yes, it's late. Last one we did was early. This one's late. It's just coming up after 10 o'clock here in the studio. We've just done the big show and now we're doing the photo show. One of the things we said in the big show was please give us some reviews. Never more so is that necessary than the photo show. Please get online and give us some reviews. That'll really get us back into the iTunes rankings, and hopefully we can stay in there a little bit longer and stick around, because we kind of tumbled out after a few years of not being around there. So please give us some reviews, refresh your reviews, good or bad, whatever you want to say, it's fine, but and we'll be back in. We've got the usual stuff. We're going to go through the news, the gear, and then some questions, your questions, and maybe we'll pull in a couple of questions from the chat room, because we've got a chat room tonight, which is awesome. Yeah. So start off with the news. First story, there's a bloke called Brian Troll, and he thought, I know what I want to do. I want to go out on Halloween dressed as a camera. So he made a camera suit for himself to go out in. It cost him $100 in cardboard, tape, rubber cement, plexiglass, that was a lens I'm guessing, and spray paint. And he stuffed a few thousand dollars and stuff with a few thousand dollars in camera equipment, because he went out and he started taking pictures of himself. He is a photographer, and this is him in his finished Nikon surrounding, which I'm guessing the fact that it's a Nikon is the scary part, and not a Canon. But is that the new Transformers, says Bronwyn? a nice pipette. Oh, that's Doc. Hello, mate. Yeah, but you can see that his Nikon camera was popular with the ladies, most definitely. It does look rather good. There was a couple of screenshots, but not much on it, I'm afraid. But he'd done the back screen and the LEDs and all that kind of thing. And he's put a nice long lens on the front. I don't know if that says anything or not, but there we go. Troll, it's a bad name, Brian. You want to change your name. Troll spent the evening taking photos inside the costume with images on his Facebook page. And we've put a link in the show notes. And as you well know, this is the only show on BTN that actually has show notes and actually gets posted with a link so you to download the PDF that's got all the links in it. Excuse me. So there you go. Did he embrace his feminine side? Says Muller. Have you ever wondered what it looked like inside the DJI factory? Yeah, well, they're the people that make the drones, the really good ones like the Phantom and that kind of stuff, and the Inspire, and we'll talk about those in a minute. A few images have leaked of the factory where they make them, and they do some camera tests on the thing, and they leave the video files still open on the drones occasionally and forget to rewipe them. But this is them doing some diagnostic tests and that kind of stuff. And actually, I was quite impressed. I've been in a few manufacturing establishments over the years, and that looks like a really quite nice and well-run factory, fairly clean. It's a bit cramped, I grant you, and there's a few boxes stacked up way too high in that shot. But it looked nice and clean. Would it make you want to buy an Inspire drone and think that it was being well made? Yeah, actually, it looks all right. I don't think it's a bad prank at all. 24 seconds of video left on a memory card that was shipped out. It's good, but it doesn't show anything incriminating, says Ian, who's helped me with the doc this week. Very much so. Thank you, Ian, for helping out. Now, are you in Sweden, and do you like flying your drone with a camera on it? Bad luck, you can't anymore, because it's banned. That is it. It is done and dusted. The country's High Court has ruled that it's illegal to fly camera drones in public places. And you're thinking, well, okay, so that's a public safety issue. No, it's not. They're saying it contravenes surveillance requirements. So they're saying it is classed as a surveillance camera. Therefore, in order to put up a surveillance camera in Sweden, you have to have a license for it. So if you want to fly your drone with a camera on it, you can still do that, providing you've applied for a permit to do so at a lower district court. There's over 20,000 drones that were sold in 2014 in Sweden alone with cameras on them. So those 20,000 people have now got to find signs somewhere private to fly their drones. Or not at all. Well, there's a bit of me here thought, well, that seems quite harsh, but I do get the idea that it's surveillance. But also, if you're in a public place, I mean, these things aren't overly safe. You know, they'll still give you a nasty cut. I have some permanent marks on my arm from where one of them took off on the table and slashed at me. And they're permanent scars. So I think this is a good move. I don't have a problem with that. No flying in public areas, just flight somewhere that's private. What's defined as private? I don't know. Whether there's a perimeter you're private or not. So if I pick it up in my garden, even though my garden's only 10 metres square, is that enough? Not sure. Not sure. It's, but as it says there's no emphasis on safety. This is all about it being an avoidance of surveillance techniques that are in there. Google have released or are working on a thing called Razor. Razor is different, I suppose, in the way that it looks at images. What it is a system that's trying to use filters and machine learning to improve the quality of low-resolution images. So you can see here, this is actually quite impressive. It's gone from an old guy's eyebrow that's very, very pixelated and turned it into something that looks an awful lot more usable. Now, that picture is really impressive. The next one I'm going to show you isn't. So this is a low-res picture of a horse, and it's then got a higher resolution looking on the right-hand side. But all it's done is splurge together colours. That's actually been blocked up very, very badly. It hasn't found the edges particularly well. And also, it looks like it's just been overly sharpened to get the effect. Again, if you look at this image here of a zebra, it has found extra detail, but it looks like it's a little bit beyond sharpening, but not totally just sharpening. There could be something else going on. The one that's kind of the big tell or the big giveaway of just how good this system is the one that's got the test card images here. It's so low res that under the 5 heading you've got there, you've got an effect called Moiré, which is effectively like if someone wears a herringbone suit on the TV, you get those lines that fly all over it and go all wavy. That's Moiré. And that is horrific on the left-hand side. And the one that's on the right-hand side has really done well to find the edges of the numbers and of the test card images, especially through the Moiré. Google might be onto something here. Some of the images look like it's just upscaling in bicubic stuff and then putting a sharpening on the top. But there's a couple of images where you go, hang on, they may have got something that's really, really good. When these filters are applied to lower quality images, they recreate details that are of comparable quality to the original in high resolution and offer a significant improvement to linear, bicubic or Lanczos interpretation methods. What the hell's going on? Is that you?
See here, I started and I
didn't know. Oh, right, okay. So there you go. Watch this space, because I'm sure that's going to be released as something that you can use at some point. But at the moment, it's only their little playing tool. Google Razor, RAISR. Watch out. Do you know who Lamar Odom is? He's a basketball player. And he was stopped by some paps in a car, and they said to him, "Are you cheating on your wife, mate?" And he went, "No, of course, I'd never cheat on my wife." And then they kept asking him questions and he got pissed off. So he got out of his car and he got into their car and he pulled out all the camera gear and threw it on the floor. And yes, your eyes do not deceive you. That looks like it's a Canon 1D, probably about $6,000 to $8,000 worth of camera with a lens on the front that looks like it's the 300mm f2.8. So that's about $8,000 to $10,000. And yes, it hits the concrete pretty hard. I couldn't watch the video for very long because it does hit and clatter pretty badly. He managed to smash all this stuff up and did it in quite a, it wasn't violent or anything, just threw it on the floor. And then he picked it all up and helped the bloke put it back in his car, which was rather nice of him. Then another woman pulled over and he stopped for a selfie with her. So, that's him. Lamar Odom. Odom. Not much news this week, I'm afraid, but that was the news. Next story then, let's say that you're out and about and you want to do some macro photography, but it's raining and you want to get all the insects in the sheltering from the rain. You could buy yourself this. It's the new STF8 macro flash that comes from Olympus. It's the world's first macro flash that is waterproof, weatherproof. It's supposed to be a perfect accompaniment to the new OMD, which we'll talk about in a minute. And it's waterproof and freezer proof down to minus 10 degrees C. It works with all of their lenses from a 30mm f3.5 macro, the 60mm f2.8 macro, and the 12 to 40 f2.8 macro. It looks really nice. It works really well. It comes off a power head that goes off the top of your flash for triggering. And it's $480, which is an extremely good price for that. You normally pay an awful lot more for decent flash heads for that, for macro. You can get those ones that you get on eBay that are LED, but they're crap. They're no good at all. This is well worth it. Good money. Well done. Do you like your Apple Watch? I'll give you top view. There you go. Quick top view of it all. Do you like your Apple Watch? And you thought, I'll tell you what it really needs is a camera in the wrist strap. Well, that's what they've done. CMRA have released a band for the Apple Watch. It works fully with the Apple Watch. It slides in and out. It's got the same fixing system and all that kind of stuff. So it's straight in and out. But it's a little bit thicker on the outward side of it. And it's got a camera in there. It's an 8-megapixel camera. It reckons it can shoot HD video. And it's got an upward-facing 2-megapixel camera that will do a selfie with you. So you've got an outward 8-megapixel and a 2-megapixel inward-facing. You can record it from a button that's built into the band to shoot for it. It's very surreptitious, so it's pretty much spyware-type stuff going on here. And it's got 8 gig of memory storage in the band, which is kind of impressive. Here's a picture of a bloke with a faked picture of him taking a picture of the dog, because I don't think it's that good. I've watched a bit of video. It says it's HD, but I get the impression it's kind of 720, a bit more than 1080. And I don't notice the word in the story that says it's full HD. So there we go. It's only available on pre-order at the moment. You get your early bird price, because it's a Kickstarter type thing. 38mm or 42mm is $149. After launch, it's going to cost you $249. And I think they've missed the boat at that point. I think $149 is probably a decent price point. $249 is a stretch too far. If you do get the Kickstarter project and you live in the US and Canada, then you get it free delivered to you. If you're outside those, you won't. You're going to have to pay extra for it. I think that's a great idea. Don't get me wrong, but I think $249 is way too much for it. I think $149 was a more realistic price, most definitely. Here you go. This is it. It's the Olympus OMD EM1. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I may be wrong though. This is a 20.4 megapixel camera. It's got 6.5 stops of shake reduction, and we did say that's as high as they can go. Don't forget, because the gimbaling then is affected by the rotation of the Earth. Freeze proof down to minus 10 yet again, and it's got all of the stuff that we spoke about the other week. It's definitely coming now, whereas a bit of vaporware when we spoke about it a few weeks ago. Very limited ISO, like we said, 64 to 6400. We did say that was a bit limited at the time, and it looks like it's followed it through on that rumor. High res Muse uses voice coil motor of a 5-axis stabilization sift the sensor in half pixel instruments to capture 8 shots. Sounds good, doesn't it? Images are combined in the camera to create a 50 megapixel image, an 80 megapixel RAW image, and a 50 megapixel JPEG as well as. And you can select a smaller 25 megapixel thing. Shoots 4K video, and wait for it, it's £2,000, which I thought was pretty good. For the camera that it is, that's not a bad price. It works with all the Olympus stuff, Micro Four Thirds and that kind of stuff, so you're well in there. I don't know how to say this, Yongnuo, maybe Doc can say, he's in the chat room, Yongnuo, they make some great lenses. I've got they don't make great lenses, they make great lighting products and stuff. I've got a couple of their little micro LED stuff for sticking on top of the camera, and they're brilliant. The light that they push out is awesome. So it wasn't a matter of time, I suppose, before they moved off into the camera lensing mode. This is an autofocus 100mm lens. Typically when you get cheap lenses, you'll find that they're only manual focus, but this does full autofocus. 22 stops from F2 to F22 on the ring for your aperture. Max magnification is 0.14, so there's no macro button on this like there would be on the Canon 100mm lens. 58mm size, and it's about half a kilo in weight. it's okay. It's not bad. I'd say it's probably got fairly decent optics on it. It wouldn't be too horrific. And it's only £170. $170. So if you want to get out there and use it as a day shooter, or you're worried about it getting dirty or bashed around, it's not the end of the world. And it probably will take you a decent image. So I would say it's only available for Canon at the moment. But I'm sure that'll change. But it's well worth buying at that kind of price. I remember having some Senton lenses years ago when I first started in photography. I'm going back 30 years. And they were great. They took decent images. They weren't particularly good. They were all manual. But they did the job. This isn't. It's auto. Now, you've got to love our mates at Leica. Because we love them much. This is the Leica TL. It's an upgraded T camera with a mirrorless. It's a mirrorless camera. It comes with the basic lens that you see on it there. Sorry, no, it doesn't come with the lens on it. My mistake. You have to buy the optional lenses. There's six available: three prime and three zooms. It's got 100 to 1250 ISO. A 3.7-inch touchscreen on the back, 16-megapixel APS-C, no upgrade available. It shoots DNG RAW, 1080p video only, no 4K. It's got a pop-up flash. There's a picture of the pop-up flash. Isn't it pretty? There we go. And it's a small and useful camera, I'm sure, and I'm sure it takes great pictures. How much is it going to cost? That's all you're interested in. Well, it's available in November, and it's £1,695. Is it taking a picture that's significantly better than a than a Lumix from Panasonic or one of the Sonys at £700 or £800? Is it double the value without the lens and all that kind of stuff in it? I've got to say no, it really isn't. Yet again, Leica have outdone themselves with a camera that's just not worth buying. Never mind, eh? I'm going to get hate mail. Do I care? No. Last of the gear then. Going to love this. Oh, they are good, I'm really tempted, but... Inspire, DJI rather, have released the Inspire 2 and the Phantom 4. So the one that you're more familiar with is going to be the Phantom. That's this one here. This is the classic shape that they had on the original Phantom 1 that had the red stripes and all that kind of stuff on it. This Phantom 4 is superb. It's got a 1-inch 20-megapixel CMOS sensor camera on the front, 12 stops of dynamic range, and the ability to capture 4K video as well at 60 frames a second. It's got a physical mechanical shutter on it, which is impressive. And it's got an f2.8 aperture, again, which is very, very useful. It's got all the usual stuff from the original. I don't think they've changed the flight dynamics particularly. There's usually collision control and that kind of stuff on these things. So I think that all stays the same. I think the big improvements, though, are going to be in the camera on this and perhaps in the flyability of it. How much is that going to cost you? That's £1,800. And it includes the new remote control that's got the high luminance display. If you don't want the extra GPS and high luminance control, then you can get it for £1,500. But... it's quite a pricey unit. It's not probably beyond the hobbyist anyway, that's for sure. This one, however, this beast that's in front of you is the Inspire 2. So this is kind of cool. This isn't the Gress publicity shot, is it? It's a grey camera or grey helicopter shot against a grey piece of concrete. But as you can see there, if I flick backwards and forwards between the two images, the thing that always nice about the Phantom 1 was when it took off, the legs acted as the landing gear and would lift up out of the way so that the camera then protruded and the rotors wouldn't get in the shot. This one that you see in front of you here is the Inspire 2 with the Zenmuse XS5 camera on it. And it also comes with a license for Cinema DNG and Apple ProRes for the output files that are on it. And it's going to rush you £6,200. Yeah, a bit much. They do look nice, though. I really wish I could afford one for myself. If you don't want the really nice camera on it, then you can get just the flying body with a bog-standard camera for £3,000. But it's got collision sensors and it's also got impact avoidance in it as well, so it can't crash into anything. The flight systems on DJI, everyone says, are the best because the return to home and the specs of the flight and the ability to fly them, the ease with which you can fly these cameras is usually held up as being really, really good. Would I buy one? Yes, I definitely would. I wouldn't spend $6,000, but I might buy the 3 with a decent camera on it. I just want the camera, to be honest, because I've got my little wire rig that runs along the zip line, and I just want a really, really good quality camera on that rather than having to hang the GoPro on it, which isn't a pain in the arse. I tried to use it today and the gimbal wouldn't work, so that's not a good thing. I'll have to get that fixed soon. And that was the gear. Last thing then is your questions. We've had a few questions this week. Thanks to those people who've taken the time to write in. If you would like to have your question answered, then all you got to do is send an email to britishsetternetwork@gmail.com. Just title it Photo Show and you can send in a question and I will do my best to give you the answer or find out the answer for you. Something that's been puzzling you or something that you need to solve or something that's a question on how to do something, send it in and I'll try and get it done. One of the questions we haven't quite done in time, but I'll give you a few things on that anyway. First bit is just an email, really. Hi, Ewan. Great that the Photo Show is back, and great that you have some help from Ian. I hope both of you manage to keep things going. That's from Mark. Thanks very much, Mark. Do appreciate that. If you want to say thanks, don't send me an email. Leave me a review on iTunes, please. That would be really, really cool. But thanks very much, Mark, for sending that email in. That's great. First question then. Hi, Ewan and Ian. A couple of weeks ago, you were mentioning the rules around drones. I've got some Fat Shark glasses for my plane. Are you saying that I'm flying illegally when I use them? That's from Simon. So if you've got Fat Sharks are just a set of eyeglasses, effectively, that have got two tiny screens in, and they've got an antenna on it, and that antenna will speak to the camera transmitter that's on board your aircraft, and it sends you back a picture for you to look at in the Fat Sharks, and it is a 3D experience. You are like you are the pilot of the aircraft. They are brilliant. They're great. I've had a go at using them, and I fell over. Because when you put them on and you start moving stuff, you're all over the place. You've got to sit down to use these things. But one of the problems that you've got, Simon, is you haven't said how you're using it. So if you're using the glasses and someone else is flying the plane and you're just using it for you to see and for you to control a camera that's in there, that's perfectly legal as a hobbyist to do that, as long as you don't fly it within 150 metres of someone else. But you have to maintain line of sight to your aircraft if you are the person piloting it, plain and simple. So if you're sitting these on and then flying remotely without being able to see your aircraft when you're on the ground and can't see things coming towards it or see it getting into trouble or anything like that, you're only reliant on what you've got in the Fat Sharks that are on your face, that's illegal, I'm afraid. As my understanding of the law goes. I won't say that I'm the be-all and end-all on this, but that's my understanding. You have to maintain a physical line of sight to your aircraft if you are piloting. If you're operating the camera, you don't. You can look through anything you like to see what's going on in the camera and pivot and move the camera around, but the person piloting the aircraft has to maintain line of sight. That's it. I think. I'm pretty sure on that one, though. Next question, any tips on shooting the supermoon chaps? From Martin. Based on the fact that this has got no chance of getting out before the 18th of November, I've got tons of tips because I did it myself. Number one, get a clear night, because here in the UK, most of us had nothing. In Birmingham, it was crap. Got a quick view the next morning, that's it. The one thing that really annoyed me, though, I mean... People go on about what aperture should I use, 2.8, or it doesn't make any difference because it's so bright anyway. But get the lens open and give yourself short exposure times. It doesn't make any difference. You're not trying to get something else in focus beyond it, so who cares? If you're going to use real super zooms, then you can put in 2x converters because you can actually get away shooting up to f11 with the moon and still be handheld. It's that bright usually if it's a full moon. The thing that was puzzling to me when I went on Twitter the next morning and saw all these pictures that were up there of the supermoon was everyone had zoomed in on it. And it was kind of like, what on earth have you done that for? Because the moon's only super when it's in context. So take a picture of it with some pigeons nesting on a roof or something and the moon coming up behind the person's house, because then it looks massively bigger than where it is. And also, if you want something to appear bigger than it really is, get as far back from it as can and zoom into it, because then that pulls everything together. The cone of focus comes down and you then get a much more of an appearance of like the moon is a lot closer to the object that you're shooting it against than if you sit there with a wide angle lens, it looks miles away then. So there you go. Hold on to those tips and they should be useful in 2036, Martin. If you're still around, of course. Next question is from Tom. Hi, Ewan. Great to see the photo show back. Thanks, mate. As Google has now decided that Picasa is to be shut down and my aperture library is of no use whatsoever, what's the best application out there for cataloguing and setting images into albums, keywording, etc.? Thanks for any help, regards, Tom. I'm not the right person to ask for that, mate, I'm afraid, because I've never used those applications for the purposes that they're intended. I don't like filing stuff in an application that says show package contents when I right click on it. It just fills me with dread, and this is one of my talks at Macworld, always Finder has been my tool of choice. So you've got tagging in Finder, which is great, so you can tag images as up to 8 colors to get them into categories. You can file in folders that are album names if that's what you want to do, is file them as albums, so that's not a problem. And also, if you look at a file convention for yourself, so the thing that I've got is that I'll put down what the item is, what the activity is that it's doing, who the company was I shot for, and then I'll say what the speed of the footage was or what the size of the image is, so if it was close or wide. And I've got a little convention whereby if something's as close as it can be, I put the close in capitals. If something's fairly close, but you can still see around it, it's just close in lowercase, and then the same for wide angle. Wide is as wide as it can be in capitals. And once you've done that, you can start using smart folders and then you can start finding stuff dead easy. I've never ever used a photo repository system, and I never will, because it's not reliable. Because as you've seen with Aperture, you said, you know, my Aperture library is now of no use. So there you go. You can't use it anymore because they decided to take away the priority to it. And the same applies for Lightroom and all the other stuff that's out there as a repository. Trust yourself in something like Finder or Windows File Explorer, I'm guessing, and you'll have great functionality. I'm sure Windows File Explorer will do tagging and searching and that kind of stuff. You can't beat Finder. Finder's really powerful, and Preview as well is really, really awesome for images. 28 different file types will open up in Preview. If you've got a question, send it to us at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. We'll get it answered, and I'll do my best anyway. And I think I'm right on all the stuff that I say. If I'm not, then write in and tell me and correct me, and I'll read it out again and tell everyone I was wrong. It's no big deal. But I think I'm right on some of them anyway. Please leave us a review. Thanks very much. Please check out Hoya, and please check out, because they make great lenses and camera stuff, so that's really awesome. And also check out UK2 for hosting us as well. Next week, I have no idea when we're going to do the show. It's probably going to be on Friday morning, I would say, because the Mac show is going out Friday afternoon, and then Big Show is going on to Friday evening. So we're going to have a day of broadcasting like we did before. I hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.